Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Somewhere in Vegas podcast here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Mark the Q. I'm your host. I am very privileged to have a very, very well-known actress. You may recognize her from her really extensive resume of work. She has been nominated once for an Emmy. Now she's once again nominated for an Emmy, this time for the online series Walking Dead, which is a very innovative series at all. It's great to be able to have Patrika Darbo on with us right now. How are you doing, Patrika?
I'm very well, thank you.
Congratulations on the Emmy nomination.
Yes, and let me just tell you that it's Acting Dead, A-C-T-I-N-G, Acting Dead.
Okay, I'm sorry, I messed up the Acting Dead.
Honey, that's okay, that happens a lot. I just wanted to get it out there.
Okay, will do. Tell us a little bit about how this came about, how the part came about.
Well, first of all, I was asked to do it because I'd worked with the people before, and I usually play crazy people, so I was playing crazy people again. And when I read the script, it was just terrific, so I thought it'd be fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, now this is you've had a really massive body of work and a really extensive resume. How was it for you to do an online series like this versus a scripted series or a sitcom like you usually do?
Getting paid. this is like my third internet show that I've done where it was just because I really liked the project and I loved the people I was working with, and everything was deferred. I did not get paid in money, dollars and cents, for this. The icing or the payment has come because my peers gave me the nomination, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to be able to see, like I said, you've worked a lot on the television end of things, and now we're seeing this kind of revolution in terms of online TV shows, selling it to Netflix, selling it to Hulu, selling it to Amazon, all these outlets. As an actress, you know, who's experienced gone through the television, how is it for you in the past couple of years seeing this kind of innovation in terms of television and the online streaming services, where now we're seeing a lot more different talent, different takes on shows, and kind of the risk factor that some of these shows are willing to take?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's afforded the opportunity for a lot of people who don't have a lot of money. When you think about it, I think there was an Oscar-nominated show, Tangerine, I can't remember exactly the name, that was shot on an iPhone. I mean, we've progressed so far from the four-camera sitcom or three-camera sitcom and the amount of the quality of the work being done, but there's so much television affording actors to have a better venue to put things out there, but also the young actors and the young filmmakers, television makers that are coming up. It's amazing the platforms they have to put their work out there, the kind of work they're getting to do. It's kind of like a brave new world. It's scary in some aspects because you can shoot an entire movie on a film. Scary in the fact that it's not just the box that sits in your living room that you're watching anymore. You can see it on your phone or your tablet. It's amazing. I'm just very fortunate to have grown with the process, I think, at this point.
Yeah, and, I mean, especially with your part here in Acting Dead, I mean, you know, like I said, they have a tendency, a lot of these new filmmakers or television makers as well, tend to take more risks in terms of their roles and all that as well. Have you been seeing that, you know, over the past couple of years that some of the roles that you've been offered are a lot different than what you've been known for throughout your career?
Well, for me, it's been because I am a character actress, so I am mostly offered character roles. I think Days of Our Lives was probably the femme fatale role that I'd never had before. I just think there's so much more work and the opportunities for us to get stuff out there. And, you know, it's always fun to be an outrageous character, which is what Margot is in this. And if you notice her desk at all, she was a travel agent. Cross that out. Now she's a talent agent, and she may go back to being a travel agent. So it's just fun to have these outrageous characters to do.
You know, and you've dove between comedy and drama. Is there one genre that you like more?
You know, really, I'm going to say I've had the comedy most of the time because of the fact that I'm that character actress. I loved being the kind of bitch, I hope I'm allowed to say that, on Days of Our Lives, and have the hunky husband and the beautiful daughter, and to be as glamorous as I was, and to get the Emmy nomination for that role. So it's just, I guess I want to say the same thing that every actor says, is that I'm an actor, give me a role and let me do it. I think that's great. And you're in Vegas, right?
Yes.
Years ago, I did Bottoms Up. I don't know.
Oh,
I think
wow.
You're probably a little young, but I did Bottoms Up with and toured with Breck Wall and the crazy characters there. So, yes, I've kind of got a good feeling in my heart for Vegas because it was a fun shows to do and be a part of.
And that's obviously, it's changed a lot here, you know, even over the past decade. You know, we're seeing a lot of the old hotels, you know, come down. The emphasis on entertainment has shifted somewhat. You know, we're seeing a lot more variety as well. You know, you've probably been back since your days performing out here. How has it been for you to take a look at how much has changed in here in the Vegas area? And, what's your perspective on that?
I think it's grown immensely, and I think you have to take the sin out of Sin City for now. It is a place that has now offers things for whole entire families to have a family vacation, as well as the opportunity if you want to go see a big elaborate show, all of the Cirque du Soleil's, and it's amazing. And the hotels, the grandness of the hotels is unbelievable, and the stages, it's terrific.
Now, let's talk a little bit about how you got started in acting. Tell me a little bit about how you got started and, some of the background into how you started your career as an actress.
My mother would say that I came out of the womb acting, but I did a lot of it in school, high school, community theater, and things like that. I wasn't one of those people that waited tables very well, so I had a full-time job as a lady executive for the first kind of 20 years of my career, being a credit manager and asking people to pay their bills and doing acting part-time. And I then had a gentleman tell me that I was a woman no more than a goat and to never contradict him again. So when I did stand up briefly, I went, bye, and decided, nah, I'm not staying here any longer. So I gave them either 20 minutes or 2 weeks because I thought, I can't work for this gentleman anymore. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened because from that point on, I started acting full-time, and that was back in the early 80s, and that's all I've done since then is be a professional actor with no side job.
Yeah, I mean, I've had several comedians that have come on that have later in life decided to go into comedy, and they've had regular day jobs and insurance salesmen and business people and all that as well, and then they decide I'm going to up and quit my job and just to pursue my passion, which is it's an interesting story. I mean, a lot of people think that they get stuck in that point where they're in their early 30s or mid 30s or late 30s. Where they're just like, it's too late now. It's too late for me to try to take a risk. And then suddenly,
never too late.
Yeah.
Never too late.
Yeah.
If you just have to stick with it. I'm sure if they'd told Estelle Getty not to get involved, or Irene Ryan, a lot of them that have passed at this point, but they'll tell you that they stuck to it, and it's important. If it's in your heart and you want to do it, you've got to do it.
Now, did you live in Los Angeles at that time, or was this something that?
Yes, I've lived in Los Angeles. I've lived in Los Angeles longer than I've ever lived anywhere else. So yes, I got married here. I had both the professional woman job and now the professional actress job all here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, you actually hit, and you know, a lot of my listeners that are old enough to remember, I'm old enough to remember, the golden age of the sitcom. I mean, during the 80s. I mean, we have, you know, if you can name the sitcom, you've pretty much been on it. But you know, what was it like for you to be, you know, be an actress during that time? It seemed like you had a lot of work coming towards you in terms of the sitcom, and you probably had a really good agent in order to get some of these roles. But tell me a little bit about that.
Well, early in the late 70s and early 80s and things, when I was doing stuff, we used to have what we called showcases where you could meet casting people and things. But also when I used to, I'm going to have to say, in the dark ages when I went for auditions, there were basically 5 actors that were up for the same part. Now there's 50. And now you used to go into a room with the writers and the producers and the director, and you would audition for them. Now you go in with just the casting director and a camera. And everything is done on film very fast. You're in, you're out. And basically, if you weren't talented, you wouldn't get in that room at all, which it was in the past also, but now it's basically on how you look and how you're going to fit in with the other people on film. So it's gotten a little harder in that aspect, and there's not as much, for me, in my opinion, it's not as much of the warmth or the getting to know people, and you pretty much could walk into a room and you knew if you were going to get the part or not on just how you were received in that room. Now it's just, like I said, the casting director aims the picture at you, the camera at you, and then she starts reading the other characters. So you really have nothing to really kind of relate to, and mostly actors, it's all in your eyes. And here you are relating to a little round disc that offers you nothing. And you're very blessed if you have a casting director that's also got some acting in their ability.
Yeah,
so
you know, I mean, I did a couple of casting sessions for a movie. I'm just about ready to wrap on my own, but you know, I was doing all the casting, and I interacted with a lot with my actors in terms of the casting, and then on my last one, I actually did have somebody that could read lines for me. That would interact with the person. I know she wasn't a really trained actress. She was actually an assistant of mine, but she, you know, it came across of it. And I liked the idea of also working with an actor, because you know, doing it once, I don't think you really get to know where the actor is, and you don't get to know how well you can work with that actor. So
no,
I was lucky enough to have time. Yeah.
You are so perceptive, because in the old days, the director would be there, or the producers, and they'd say, could you do it again, but try this, be a little sassier here, or hit this word a little harder. Now you get none of that. So it's your first choice, and if you get to do it twice, you're very lucky. And I think, in all fairness, I have to be kind to the people that hire me, but I think it's because we have so much television, because it's so fast anymore, that they have to do that. I just wish they kind of wouldn't, but you know,
yeah.
If wishes were, you know, horses, we'd all be riding around. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sometimes, I mean, it does help for a little bit of research. You know, a lot of times, and the good news is that a lot of the actors and actresses nowadays have a lot of their stuff online. So if you want to take a look at their reel, then you can kind of wind it down a little bit more. I just really wish that more people would do that instead of having a cattle call like they usually do nowadays. So
yeah,
maybe that'll
be
something that'll be a trend.
I do also know that now, you know, the networks and producers all have lists. And if you're not on their list, you're not going to get in unless they really can't find anybody. So I think, unfortunately, I think they're missing the boat, because there are so many actors out there that they're not getting a chance to see because they're just doing lists. And at this point, you can turn on a lot of television and see one actor on 15 different shows because somebody goes, well, we don't have time, so get this actor. We don't have time, so get that actor. He was on that show. He'll do a good job on this show. Well, of course he'll do a good job because he's an actor, but, you know, you're limiting your scope of what could be good for your show by looking at other actors and actresses.
Yeah, I mean, in kind of a way, that's how some film festivals are important. I mean, Sundance is very important, some of these smaller festivals are a little bit, you know, just to get some actors some experience, to get them in front of, and mean it maybe in front of some people that maybe even just going, you know, physically going. I know I was at Sundance a couple of years ago, and just having actors there, just be there. You know, meeting up with certain casting agents or certain people that have any power in there, they can, you know, at least get their face in front of them. Maybe they can get on that list. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it does deal with networking and being able to get list done. But it's interesting to see where the kind of the Hollywood is going in terms of that. And it's not even kind of Hollywood anymore, because a lot of people are producing out of Hollywood now. A lot of the shows are produced outside of there, Atlanta. Vancouver,
well, Atlanta,
Toronto,
Atlanta is a big hub now, Mark. I mean, with Pinewood Studios there, Tyler Perry Studios there, ABC has an extension. I mean, the CW, because I think both the vampire shows that are shot there. You have NCIS now in Louisiana. So there's a lot of production out of the city, though. I think I guess it's been this past year when the governor taxed things, so we got a little bit more production back here. And now that the Canadian dollar is not any better than our dollar, that there's a little less going on there. I think going back to it, though, the mere fact that we have these new, like the category I was nominated this time, short form, you're offering a lot of actors an opportunity to get themselves out there that might not be seen by the mainstream or other producers. And so it's you're right. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting time right now where entertainment's going. So, and like I said, you bring a very unique sense of perspective because of your long, like I said, your long resume, in terms of seeing how everything kind of goes as well. You know, you talked about being on Days, which, you know, what was probably one of your funnier moments when you were on Days of Our Lives?
Oh, one of my funnier moments is because I'm a bigger woman was asking me to get closer to the gentleman, Craig, who that's my his character name, but Kevin Spiritus played my husband, who is your gorgeous, hunky, typical soap opera guy, and they kept wanting me to get closer to him, and I had to finally say to them, guys, you're going to have to drill a hole in his back for my boob. I can't get any closer to him. So it was a whole new thing there, trying to be that romantic thing, and the camera guys getting used to a much larger woman. I used to say that they were used to dealing with size 2s, but I was a 2, but I was a 2-0 instead of an 0-2.
And, I mean, what was it like for you to be on the show? And, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are fans of the show. You know, there's so much, in fact, that they have conventions and they have, I'm pretty sure you've done a couple of those. What's it like for you to interact with some of the fans, and what was some of the reactions that you were getting towards your character?
I have to tell you that the daytime fans, not just Days of Our Lives fans, but the daytime fans are some of the most loyal, and they're generational. I mean, the grandmothers, mothers, daughters, sons, the whole family would watch and stuff like that. I've become very good friends with several of my fans that are now their friends. We're like family. That's I guess the one thing to say with Days of Our Lives is it's a very family kind of, it's a family show in that it's been around for 50 years. It was created by Ken Corday's parents, and he's continued it. And we just celebrated the 50th anniversary. But the fans are some of the most loyal, and they don't have a problem telling you what they like and what they don't like. And I was generously received by them, and I think maybe sometimes because vicariously they didn't have to live through the size 2, that suddenly I was there, which said, you know, they could be there too, they could have that handsome husband. And it was always that Kevin, who was my husband on the show, his character loved and adored me. There was no, she has enough money, so I'm going to be with her, or her father's paying me to be with her. It was the fact that he truly loved me, I truly loved him, and we pulled off a lot of shenanigans together, and we're still great friends right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see that. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot been coming out about the idea of now some of the actresses over 40 are starting to really make an impact now in Hollywood. It never used to be that way. It used to be, you know, if you reached your 30s, that was when you kind of had the cutoff of, you know, you're not wanted, or you don't have, it's time to, you know, call it a career. I mean, there's a famous sketch by Amy Schumer on her show of Sally Fields, Patricia Arquette, and Tina Fey, and they're talking about, you know, the time at which, you know, they say that they're too old for Hollywood. And I think one Sally Field had, they said, mentioned about Sally Field not playing a romantic lead with Tom Hanks, but yet in Forrest Gump he ends up playing his mother, and that's kind of the time when you got to figure that out was the situation. But that's no longer the situation now. We're seeing a lot of that, you know, some of the mature actresses over 30 really start to get some roles as well. So, I mean, it's been interesting to say the least. I mean, you as a character actor, I think, have done so much in terms of kind of breaking that barrier early on. And what's your kind of opinion on that?
Well, I think if you look at a lot of the leading ladies that are over 40 that are doing stuff, they were very much leading ladies in the 20s, in their 20s and 30s. So they've kind of been able to continue that on and on. For me, I find it's a little more difficult over 40 because we've also got a lot more diversity going on in television and film right this moment. So if they're not creating the leading role, then diversity starts happening in your character or your next generation of roles. So it kind of limits roles for me at this point, unless it specifically says chubby, Caucasian, over 40 or over 50. So it kind of limits there because it opens it up to a myriad of other diverse women. I think it's a very good thing because we need that. I said it just gets a little tougher. I think with Jessica Lange, getting the Emmys that she's getting and the notoriety, but had she not been working all the way along in her career in film and stuff like that, she might be facing the same thing I am, that there is a lot fewer roles along that line. And really, until we get writers, and hello, writers out there, women can be doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, and there are still like 6 men roles to every 1 woman role. And if the 1 woman role is that 30-year-old, it's very difficult to go past that. But we can be doctors, we can be lawyers, so it that kind of thing has to happen. I think the writers and the producers and things have to realize that women can be the bad guy, the bad doctor, the good doctor, the judge, and start creating those roles or writing those roles and allowing women to do them. And that'll help a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think we're getting that slowly but surely. I'm seeing quite a few films and television shows where the women, the female characters are becoming more badass. And being in more power roles in terms of that as well. I mean, Thursday nights are myriad of powerful female.
Well, Shonda Rhimes is brilliant in her creation and allowing women to be in places of power. So she's terrific along those lines, and her shows are successful. So I think there is an audience that wants to see that and embraces that. And you're right, the more we keep doing that, the more it's going to be on. And it's good for our younger people to see that, yes, women can be the judges and the police officers and the attorneys, the doctors. So it creates a lot of, good things, I think.
Now, like I said, you've had a really, resume that any actor would die for, pretty much, with all the stuff that you've been into. Was there any certain actor that you were kind of in awe of working with?
Well, I love Sandra Bullock. I thought she's very talented, and I loved working with her. I think Clint Eastwood, I didn't get to do any scenes with him in The Line of Fire, and working with John Malkovich was incredible, but Clint Eastwood liked what I did in The Line of Fire, so he hired me to be in Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And one of my favorite actors is Beau Bridges, and I've gotten to do several things with him. And so I've just been very fortunate with some of the great people that I've gotten to work with.
Yeah, was there anybody that you acted with early on in your career and said that person's going to be, you know, was going to be a star, and then later on it ended up being that way?
Oh, gosh. You kind of got me on the spot. And offhand, I can't think of anybody right this moment. I'm sure they're out there. And then there are sometimes the people like I would, you think, well, they'll be out there and be doing thousands of things. So it's just crazy sometimes. I wish I could just give you a name right this moment, but I don't think it would be fair to pick somebody out that I haven't thought about.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Well, yeah, no problem at all. Let me ask you this question then. You know, you've done both movies and television as well. Do you prefer one over the other? Obviously, there are different quirks between both of them, but is there anyone, this one you prefer, or is it kind of like, you know, Sophie's Choice here?
I guess Sophie's Choice is the best thing. In film, you don't go from page one to page, you know, to the next page. You don't shoot in order, and it's not as fast sometimes. You only shoot like a page a day, or a page and a half, or a couple pages at the most a day. So it's a lot slower. Television is much faster. And if, for example, a sitcom. You get a script on Monday, and it's not the same show you shoot on Friday because there are so many changes back and forth. So that's very different. The working on Days of Our Lives, we shoot a movie script a day. It is very fast. You can have 30 to 40 pages of dialogue, and you need to have it memorized, and they shoot it all in one day. It's very fast. If you're doing episodic television takes 2 weeks, and it's closer to being like a movie. So it's a little slower, but it still has to get everything done within the 10 to 12 days that it shoots. So I just love working in every genre. Sometimes movies, you're a little less stressed unless you're the lead, and I haven't really done the lead in a film, so I've had the fortune of not having as much to memorize. On the sitcom thing, I've had, you know, having done Step by Step and been a regular, again, you have to be on the fly sometimes, know your lines by the end of the day, and be ready for a change if the director wants one between one show and another. And then you have to learn your lines for the soaps and be right on top of it.
With that in mind, how is that compared to working with this online series? Was it a situation where it was shot more like the movie, or was it more shot like television, or was it kind of somewhere in between?
I would say it's more like doing episodic television, because they did give you more time. They did the master shots, the three-quarter shots, the two shots, the close-up on this one, the close-up on that one, then a tight close-up. It's the same way, because I am also doing The Bay, which is another internet show, which is just is now going to be on Amazon Prime. And they've just won their second Emmy for Best Show, and the lead actor and actress both won Emmys this year in daytime. So it's growing leaps and bounds. It's getting better, and it'll only get more better. Let me be a literal. It'll get more better. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, this year, this past year, and then now this year seems like a really busy one for you. You know, you've got so many stuff coming out as well. Can you give us a kind of a list of things that we need to start watching with you in it, and some of the stuff that is coming up for you?
Oh, well, I'm just hoping we can get acting too to a separate thing. The Bay will be coming up with its next season, and I'm out there auditioning left and right. So, and I just finished doing The Hero with Sam Elliott, so that'll be coming out. I worked on another web series that I don't think has started yet, and I signed an agreement, so I can't even talk about that. So there are a lot of things coming up, and more so because we're sort of in pilot season right this moment, so hopefully that'll pan out. I'll get on a list and somebody will let me be in their show. In the meantime, I'm, out there doing the best I can. I keep busy with just mentoring other young people and working with SAG-AFTRA, our union. I'm on their diversity committee and women's committee and women in film. So I try to stay busy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very familiar with women in film. I follow them. I actually had a film in Artemis, and I'm very friends with the Artemis Film Festival. So I met the women in media through them. It's great to be able to see that kind of thing going on right now in Hollywood, and there is a big pressure for more diverse and reverse roles in Hollywood, and I think we're starting to get there, and hopefully this next year we'll see a little bit more roles for you. But I mean, like I said, you always seem to be really, really busy. I mean, your agent, I gotta say, your agent does well for you to have a bunch of this stuff, a bunch of these scripts handed to you, basically. Is that something? I mean, you said on this one, on Acting Dead, that was a project that you really liked.
I had worked with one of the producers, Susan Bernhardt, on a web series that she had done called Misbehave that was out, had four seasons of that. And then she recommended me to Brian, and a lot of the people in Brian's show I'd worked with at different times. And so, again, it's a networking thing, too. If I can say anything to young people out there or even older people, is network. Be involved. Unless something is morally offensive to you, take the job. There are small roles, but they grow into other roles, and they let you meet another person who lets you meet another person, and it's networking is so important, and that's how I got this job.
Yeah, it's great for you to have several projects. A lot of actors are just looking for their first or maybe one project a year, and you're going three or four, which is great. And like I said, the career that you've had is such one. I think, like I said, any actress or actor would kill for to have work with all the talent and have had so many opportunities for you as well.
I've worked hard, but I've been very blessed. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's great. And where can people find you on social media?
I'm at Patrika Darbo, and I'm Patrika Darbo on Facebook. And I haven't mastered all the others, but I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and if I don't answer right away, it's because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I try. And you can always email me at TOTOFANS, TOTOFANS@yahoo.com, because I try to answer everything. I do answer my fan mail, because without our fans, none of us would be anywhere. So I bless them all and thank them all very, very, very much.
Yeah, now, interesting. Toto, so you are a fan of the band Toto, am I correct in saying that?
No, Toto fans means the one, the only. I have a very dear friend who is like 96 years old, a character actor, William Phipps, who's been around forever, and he always called me Toto, the one, the only. So my email for everybody is TOTOFANS@yahoo.com.
Well, that is absolutely great to hear, and like I said, I absolutely love that you've been so busy, and thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to be able to talk to us. And congratulations again on the Emmy nomination. I'll have my fingers crossed that you end up getting that statue. So hopefully we can you can say well, Emmy Award winner.
Thank you. That would be wonderful. But they can never take nominee away from me. And I hope your movie's a success that you were working on. That's really great to hear. I mean, keep going at that, too. And remember my name if you need that older woman.
I will definitely keep you in mind.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you, and have a nice day, and best of luck.
You too. Thank you. Take care, and much, much, much success.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Patrika Darbo, everybody. Like I said, she's been. You name your favorite sitcom, she's probably been on it. She was just on recently on The Big Bang Theory, she was in Growing Pains. She had a long time standing role in Growing Pains, Step by Step. But yeah, she's always been one of those actors that you know, you see in the background, you maybe see one or two scenes of like, oh, who do I know her from? And that's Patrika. And like I said, she's been doing this for over 30 years. I mean, it's absolutely great to be able to talk to her a little bit about the acting world and all that as well. I've got quite a few in the queue in terms of my guests, and I will let you guys know. I have to do a little bit later because I have, as they say, I have work. I'm working, and I'm working later in the afternoon, so I have to do this a little bit later on. So we may have a guest next week on Monday. I will let you guys know. Follow us at SWIV, at SWIV Somewhere in Vegas on on Facebook. You guys can check us out there, Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook, and at SWIV, that stands for Somewhere in Vegas on Twitter. And you guys, I hope you had a great time. I will talk to you guys maybe next week. Like I said, just check out our social media. We'll have an update on who's going to be our next guest. With that in mind, we'll talk to you soon.